Well, hello.
All right. Hello. I've got another different type of talk today. I'm going to get this baby started on BSM relationship talk this time. Oh, I got to put the title up in the thing. All right, quick. Random. BSM relationship talk. And category, maybe just comedy. And maybe just BDSM. They love the thing, don't they? Okay.
Mm-hmm. I think another thing I just saw on someone else's page was it was adult talk. And I don't know if that
adult categorized talk.
Under something. Hmm. But it was adult talk. Yes.
Really?
Hmm. Yes.
Adult talk.
Well, I kind of like that adult BDSM talk. I mean, BDSM implies adult, but you know.
Imply as adult.
There they go. There they go. I like it. I like it a lot. Right.
Okay. I think this might, random BDSM relationship talk, comedy, BDSM. Yeah, relationship, yeah. This will work just fine for me. I guess,
Do you think it'll rival the first one we did?
I would think, I can't, it can't be, I think it'll do just as good like the last one. I'm going to think so.
Yeah.
I'm gonna assume this ain't gonna do just blasted fine here for me. All right, get myself here. I want to ask you though. I mean, I've got about maybe 10 seconds here. Okay. Okay. All right. Welcome, everybody, to the podcast. And today we are going to be talking about BDSM and relationships, how they work, how they kick our ass, how they work, why we're even here, that kind of thing. So I want to ask you, how does...
That's for sure.
All right. Out the box. I wanted to ask you, how has BDSM been doing for you in the relationship world, I guess?
You know, I don't know if it's like summertime frenzy outside, but, I think it's getting a little more, shall I say, choppy. Than maybe when it was cold and everybody wants to be cooped up and everybody just wants to stay in and tie each other. I don't know. Now it's like, let's get outside and, the CDC says, now we can spit in each other's mouths. So it's just open BDSM season. And,
all right, okay.
People are trying to enjoy. And I'm not necessarily mad at that. But I think if you were in a season in which maybe you're in between, like, maybe you were vetting a sub or, there was a relationship flourishing, I think it's easier for things to get off track. And maybe that's just me. I don't know. But I feel like it's definitely something I've been hearing. Or maybe it's just me and my sub. Let me say it that way.
No, I believe that. I have seen plenty of time where this can go really, really bad. And sometimes it can go really good, depending on dynamic and communication involvement. We all got lives and stuff can happen at any given time. Some people are okay with it. At a few times, they might feel a little different. I can understand that.
Yeah, oh, wait. Or feeling like I'm missing out on something. Or, not wanting to waste time. I mean, I don't want to waste time.
Oh yeah, I get that. Who wanna waste time? That kind of sucks.
Right.
I get that entirely. And I have already forgotten. We already got a message already. Just start.
Oh, what's up? Start. Hey, okay, whoever's listening. Let me check it out.
Here we go.
Hello, hello, hello. I'm so glad I got the notification and I have caught you guys this time. Hello, Mr. Noir. Hello, Miss Phoenix. It's a pleasure to sit here. Well, yeah, I'm sitting. To be in here and listen to you guys today. Hope you have a great talk. I will chime in where I can. Unless you don't want me to, then I won't. Just no, please, do your thing. I'm here listening.
No, please chime in. That is great. Trixie being, hey. She has some great posts. All she shared today. Trixie, can I talk about this? Her stuffy. This was your post. I'm almost positive it was, because subs love their stuffy. And her dog got her stuffy and tore it up, like tore his face off. I literally almost cried over it. And it's not my stuffy. But I felt bad for her. Trixie, is that was yours, right? And if not, I apologize. I'm putting all that grief on you otherwise unnecessarily, but I'm pretty sure that was her post. And I just I'm already feeling sensitive today. Y'all like my flowers?
You see, I look great.
I got a different look today.
Oh man, you know, I might have changed my post on that. You know, nah, we're the five from now. I'll do it.
Now I need a new screenshot, because Liberty Phoenix, she wants to do something different and fuck up my, like, you know, my post. So I'm feeling like a flower today. You see, I got my flower, you know, what do you call these things? I don't know, I'm gonna call it a halo. And sunglasses, you know, on my face so it can hide my low eyes. I'm feeling good, guys. Mm-hmm. I had an edible and I'm feeling pretty good. I don't do that often.
What I'm saying.
I'm not like a pothead. I'm not like somebody just over here doing the most. But, you know, and this is probably why I'm acting so extra. I haven't had an edible, I don't know, since like February. It's been a while.
Whatever you do to get the mind right, hey, you saying?
Hey, get the mind.
Get your body flowing here, talking about relationships. No, that's kind of a touchy subject. I already get that. That can be a really touchy subject.
Yeah. I think someone chimed. I think Trixie sent us the message to answer. Did she answer my question about was that her post? You see a message? No.
I don't know. I got to see.
Don't even worry about it. That's me. I don't know what I'm talking about. So, okay.
Okay. All right.
We have some relationship talk, boom.
Mm-hmm. So, what would you say was the best relationship you had? At least one of the best in BDSM, or was one of the worst?
Wow, you know what? I know, because that is really. Oh, I don't know. Okay, I'm going to say I don't have a best. Let me say that. Yeah. I know. All hell is right. I have. So for me, I've been in two explicitly kinky relationships. And neither of them lasted long. And long is relative, but I'm going to say the first one lasted maybe about 3 months. And the second one lasted over 6 months, but like over six, less than seven. And each time they ended pretty cordially, like we knew that we weren't going to move forward in the same way. You know, maybe as kinky folk, but definitely not dominant submissive. Like officially collared by either, which feels bad actually talking about it. Because I definitely wanted to be in submission to them when I was in a relationship with them specifically. I'm the type of sub that, you know, only submit to one. So, you know, it didn't end the way I wanted it to, for two reasons. One, I don't feel like we have the honesty and the openness that is required for the level of trust that goes into a kinky relationship. And two, because of that, you've pretty much damaged the ability for me to submit to you. Because now I'm, you know, peeping around corners and not really sure if what you're telling me is true. And it just isn't safe to be in a dynamic with someone in that way, particularly if you are into some of the kinks that I am. So that just wasn't going to work. And I'm actually really sad about it. I'm really sad today specifically because I really just ended that vetting period this week. And so that's been, I had a rough weekend. So.
Okay, yeah, that'll do it.
Yeah, I had a rough weekend. And, you know, I'm dealing with it. I didn't like unfollow him or he didn't do the same to me. It was just kind of like, you know, we've come to an end here and, you know, let's just chill. You know what I mean? There's nothing wrong with that. So, it's a little sad. I've heard people say that ending DS relationships can feel much harder and much more painful than traditional, you know, relationships, vanilla relationships and dynamics. And that really resonates today, being that I've been in, you know, vanilla relationships and now this, you know, kinky relationships, both were felt a little extra hard. Like,
you know. Ooh, I felt that too.
Yeah.
And you kind of
helped me with some perspective earlier, sir, about like when you're a primal. Can you like talk about that a little? Because that also resonated with me as a primal.
Let's see. I know being a primal is going to make things a little bit more intense. And you feel things stronger, whether the bond, the closeness, or the fact that, you know, they're no longer in your life. I guess like a double-edged sword. You feel things stronger and you can feel things harder when you lose them. Especially if you got a real deep, amulet primal primal bond like that. Things feel more open.
Yeah.
In a way, that's good, but it's just like I said, it could be bad when you're not getting what you're looking for. That pain can hit deep.
Open, though. Wow.
Yeah, I said a lot of people are not used to being open. They're not used to letting it all out. I'm not saying that in vanilla relationships they can't be open. I'm not saying that they can. I'm just saying from my own personal experience on this that when you're open this kind of level and all the extra kinks involved, the people you're talking to and now have that level of intimacy, it's a little bit more intense. Like I told my friend, let's say you go to a bar. And you're having a one-night stand, whatever. The first person want to go ahead and just, you know, meet up, to drink a little bit, they're getting fucked, yada, 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 to go home, boom. The second couple, you meet, you're talking, you're getting tired, you're blindfolded, you know, you're locked in there, got toys in you, it's a whole field or whatever, getting choked, talking shit in your ear, and they go about a merry way. You don't just walk off of it.
No. You are not the same, dude. Okay.
And you didn't, especially. Especially. Well, no biggie. Compared to what I've seen, I said that's not something that people walk around. I mean, walk away from, especially if they're like completely new to that. That's not something they want to see.
Yeah.
Come up and just get them all messing around like that. Oh, by the way, I forgot again. We got another message here, and I just want to play this again here because I make another to you.
Okay, yeah, that was definitely me. And it's so funny because I've been complaining about not being able to get in a little space recently, and I get home today, and my dog I've only had for about 2 weeks. He's a rescue, and he's usually really mild mannered and really good, but today I guess he got a stick up his butt, and. If you go to my page and look through my stuffies highlight, I have like 30 stuffies. But the three that he got were three of the most important ones. Turbo was my sloth, my very first sloth that I've ever bought. Creme Brulee was a Valentine's Day gift that I slept with every single night. That was the bear that had the little red. And Roscoe, I did not put a picture up, but he is my Triceratops, who's about 4 feet long. And all his stuffing is missing as well. And when I tell you I cried for 30 minutes, I cried for 30 minutes over my stuffed animals.
Oh, hell. I am so feeling for her.
Oh, but I gotta know what your stuff is. Power to stuffy.
It's a thing, sir.
Like, I don't know if the power of stuffy there.
When daddy isn't around, like, that is the thing that you really harness your energy into, to feel comfort, to feel safe, to feel, you know, little, is what Trixie was just talking about, getting into little space. Like, those are the channels. And so something happening to your stuffy is like, it's so terrible. You feel like somehow Sir has been hurt. You know, it's like, it's really that deep. So, yeah. Okay.
She said, here we go.
That was a tangent there.
Oh, she said a second one, too. What you got? She got a lot.
But anyways, that sent me straight into Little Space. So I was like, no, my stuffies.
She's going straight into stuffy mode here.
You cannot be laughing over the death of her stuffy.
Oh, Jesus. That stuffy probably going there living on like Dragon Balls. Let me go take it back to a little place and bring it back to life.
Goodness, here. Okay, we'll see. I hope so. I'm sure. I hope your daddy buys you a new stuffy. It will never replace the ones you lost, but you can still certainly, you know, channel that energy into a new one. You know?
Or they get paid to get it fixed, I wonder.
Hey, maybe. But, I mean, her doggy was at her stuffies, I'm telling you. So, I know.
I can definitely see that. She's like, what the hell?
Anyway, I was answering my best and worst, and I think I was just moping. And best. Yeah, I think I was just like, yeah, it hasn't happened yet. I know what could have been my best, but also, like, I think the dynamic can be at its best when you're just more transparent with each other, or transparent. This is really a place where you can feel free, or should be able to feel free with exploring, like, really your dark fantasies and your sensuality. And so your partner can take you to the next level of whatever that means, right? And really just kind of go there, you know, with someone in a place in which you can just really explore and have fun. And, you know, I think that's another thing that COVID is coming out with. Like, life is too short to not really learn what makes you come, you know. Learn your body, learn your likes, your dislikes, what makes you feel good, what makes you feel pain, which may make you feel good, right? Like, all the things. And we just can't afford to waste time. You know, time is the highest currency there is, you know, and we all have a bag of the same amount. So, like, what the fuck you gonna do with it? Waste it on like some trash ass motherfucker who can't be communicative, right? And be just open and honest, as open and honest as you're being with them, right? And
no, you know, that's true.
That's not something I regret, because it had to be done, and that's who I am. And the next relationship I'm in, you know, I do it again, you know. And once I feel, you know, we vibe in, I feel like it could be a thing, like, I'm not gonna give up. Some people will, though.
they've been hurt, or are they like, you know what, I'm not having an easy time here in this kinky world. I'm just gonna give the fuck up. Like the first bad, you know, BDSM experience they have, they're out. And I don't know, I've gone too far to turn back now, you know.
No, it's true. I think about the time as time goes by and people see things in their life, whether 20s, 30s, 40s, whatever, they get a little different when trying to find, I guess, partners, especially in the kink community or anywhere else. Let's say you're just trying to find that certain dynamic and you're trying to look in vanilla spaces. So now here they're in a kind of a pickle. They want to find somebody who's kinky, but he don't want to be an asshole. And they got to find somebody they're attracted to. And they got to find somebody who ain't toxic. So you got all these things in the factors here. And as time goes by, it gets harder to find that, you know. I had a few I knew that were definitely willing, but they were more vanilla, and I know it's going to be a problem. I think I did a podcast on that like a while back talking about how do you speak kinky in a vanilla relationship? And one person vanilla as hell, like you don't want to do a starfish, may suck your dick when you're feeling spicy, and yeah, that's about it. So a guy feeling kinky, he gonna feel like this is a little fucked, you know. So, you know, I get plenty of people talking and literally listening on that and thinking, you know what? At this point, I sent a few emails asking, okay, did they start cheating? And I'm hearing a few. That's why I allowed them to just stay vanilla relationship, because the person got something that they feel be positive to help them out with, or something that'll be, you know, they got something they want to stick to or responsible, whatever. But then they go out there and get kinky on the side somewhere else.
And what
I seen some of that too.
What the fuck is up with that, right?
I don't agree with that, but it's happening a lot. If I keep telling people, if you know that's who you are, just pretty much put out there what you want to do, say it,
yes,
and leave it at that. Because otherwise, you're just going to hurt yourself and the person you're with. You know you're kinky, and you know you ain't going to. That is literally a one for here. At rent, can't get that one up. Then just let them know, as opposed to pretend to be something you're not. And then when they can't move and you feel some kind of way, and now they've got some drama going on.
Right, and that is just not okay. And you also, especially if you get into a dynamic, then you start bringing that same energy into those dynamics, and that's the shit that's really fucked up, right? Why are you bringing that shit over here, right? That's not where it belongs, because as open and transparent and as deep as I'm willing to go with you in this, this scene and this playtime and this relationship, I don't need you doing secrets and lies, right? You're taking power away from me to be able to decide and speak into my own consent, right? I consent to be with a play partner who is untethered, or maybe tethered, you know, in other ways that I know about, right? Be like, hey, I'm poly, or I'm married, but, you know, I polygamous, and I'm allowed to have a marriage or whatever it is. Like, okay, cool. Like, allow me to say, you know, what my boundaries are, and if I'm okay with that, because consent is king this lifestyle. And the moment you go outside of it with your secrets and lies bullshit, like, you are really damaging the reputation that could exist in this space, you know, particularly with Black kinky folk. You know, we just keep that shit out there. Like, we don't need it here, you know?
Well, I know. I've seen it. I have seen that I can get. And a lot of times people don't want to, they don't take that seriously. They don't want to take it seriously. They want to say, like, you know, hey, look, talk a little about this, do our thing, we're good. Or, other sample, you want a good kinky, the person is with somebody, they know they're vanilla, but the person's kinky as hell, and they like the person, but they don't feel like being tied up or spanked to high heaven or whatever, you know, every now and then. Or they don't feel like being, or the rare ones I've seen don't like being choked. I'm just saying, I've seen more who like being choked now that don't like being choked. So maybe choking's getting more normalized among women. I don't know. I'm just saying, everyone I ran into, everyone I see now, they want to be choked. It's to the point now where it's rarer to hear one that don't want to get choked than to say they do want to get choked. I'm just saying, to my opinion, the choking's happening.
With all due respect, we are kinksters, right? So are we just more exposed to others that want, you know, choking? That's awesome.
I don't know.
But you know what? It's in popular music now. Choking. So I think that might contribute to it, you know?
It's not changing anytime soon.
No. And, you know, I think also for that reason, maybe people are finding out that they're kinky at a younger age, like, and have a name for it or a handle for it. I feel like I was always kinky, knowing now that I'm fully embracing what that means and some of the things that come with it, and just doing my education. That's how you say it. Education. But like, you know, when I was young, I'm cougar age, y'all. Okay. I don't know, 20 on this fucking, my avatar looks like she's 20. But I'm going to say, like, so I was in this relationship. Now, it didn't start off sexual. Mm-hmm. And I would venture to say most relationships don't necessarily start off as sexual. They start off with, et cetera, right? Your friends, you get to know each other. In this respect, this was a friend from high school. And this came up earlier because I saw a post. It was kind of like one of those shady ass posts. And I've been in my feelings today because of what happened with my daddy to be, who turned out not to be. But the post said, and quote, "By the time they want to fix their bond with you, you won't even want to deal with them anymore," end quote. And I thought, you know what, that is so fucking true. And I think I was sharing with you earlier that, like, a friend from high school we got really close, and I don't know, we were like friends for maybe, you know, from high school, like mid high school, like sophomore, all the way through, well, you could technically say now, but I think I met him when I was 15, and we were just so extremely close. And I think, you know, a lot of females have that one guy friend who just is in love with them for no good reason. Like, you ain't giving them none. You're not doing nothing special. You just being a friend to him, and y'all just kicking it. And, you know, he's going with you to the mall and the whole shit, right? But this is not anybody you're ready to get pussy to. Just, it's more like, you know, more like your gay best friend who isn't gay, right?
Damn.
And so I'm gonna say, he was visiting visiting the city, because he had moved away. And he came back to visit the city and called me just like, "Hey, I'm, you know, in town, can I come by and see you?" I'm like, "Yeah, no problem. Like, I'm home chilling, you know. Come on by." So it's kind of late, right? And late being like maybe 9. Like, it isn't 2 a.m. It ain't like all between your legs and digging your pussy out hours. It's just like,
here we go.
Late. I go to the door and I like to look sexy around the house. So I don't know. I'm 22. I have my little red negligee on. You know, I like red. So I'm in it all the time. Fine. Open the door. He gives me this look. And I'm like, damn. Okay. Like, do I need to put on some clothes? Like, I don't need you looking at me like this. He's like, "No, we good. You know, I did drop in on you. Da, da, da." Now, mind you, y'all, I'm really being innocent about this shit. Like, I didn't answer the door on some "let me get some dick" type shit, but I understand that it definitely could have looked that way.
Jesus Christ.
And, you know, I loved him. I missed him. You know, I gave him a hug. He sat on the couch and I'm like, you know, laying on his chest. Now, I will say this. This friend of mine was built like the Rock. Okay. Like he had muscle coming out of everywhere. Like he just had a really muscular, amazing body. He's the type of guy who did football and gymnastics. Okay. And he did both equally well. So, ladies, yes. Okay. So, anyway. So, you know, there and he's feeling like a man. So I'm like, oh, okay, let me just, hey, I'm going to snuggle up with you. Because I ain't been snuggled. Like, I ain't with a man right now. So, anyway, we get to snuggling. You know, then he gets to rubbing in a sister's head. And, you know, I got a little spot in there. Those that know. And, you know, we end up sleeping together. Okay, well, fine. I was like, okay, well, that was a mistake. Like, we just kind of did that. And now you can move on with your life. Well, no, right? Like, I think there was a soul tie there. And not necessarily from the sex, but, like, we were so close and connected to each other. And I think the sex really damaged the relationship, actually. In my opinion. He didn't want it to, right? He really wanted to do more, and I just couldn't give him more at the time. And that's not where I was. But I was explaining to Sir, too, like, he still messages me to this day, like, very randomly out of the blue, and I think it's just the connection. He just wants to feel that I'm still around, or that I'm still there, I still care, that we just, you're someone that I loved and you're someone that loved me, and I still want to have some kind of connection to you, even if it's in a very small way. So I think the last time I heard from him was about 3 years ago. Mm-hmm. And it was just a random, like, Facebook message, you know, hey, I'm thinking about you. And I will respond because I'm excited to hear from him when I do, and then he never responds back and refuses to continue accepting my messages. And I just have to, you know, take that for what it is. But then he messaged me last week and he sent me some beautiful pictures from his phone. He had taken pictures of the sunset and sent them to me. And I felt so close to him, you know, in those moments. And, you know, wondering, you know, what if? I don't know. And
if that happens,
to know, yeah, that I'm still on his mind, and he's, you know, still on mine from time to time. It's just a connection, and that wasn't necessarily, you know, kinky per se, but I think it gets to the point that you can definitely have these deep-rooted connections, particularly if you're kinky and you're sharing yourself on this deep, you know, level, physically, emotionally, all the things. And it's hard. It's hard breaking it off, you know. And it's hard, you know, ending a dynamic. And I would like people to chime in if they could about or share stories and send them to Sister after the podcast. But, like, what are some ways that you ended cordially, like, a DS relationship?
Oh, that's
I've
seen a little bit of that, but come to the end of the cordial, depending how I guess
you like fuck cordial, huh, bitch?
No, I'm just saying, man, it gets rough, man.
You
know, like, you try to be cordial.
No, fuck you.
I would try to make it cordial, and every time it can get pretty ugly. You know, you try to be as light as you can. Maybe we should stop. You know, we have some problems here. I don't see that going the right direction. You know, you're not really listening, or the dominant doing his job, or vice versa. And if it, depending how intense that is, yeah, it can get, it can, it ends rough. It's kind of like, you know, you go like a rocket ship. If I tell people all the time, you want to vet properly, because depending how you feel, and you don't vent properly enough, you go too fast, too hard, you're like a rocket ship going straight up, but then you realize, oh shit, I forgot to put some more gasoline in this motherfucker.
Rocket love.
And now you are going straight down, and when you go down that fast, you're going to crash like hell, and it's going to hurt.
Yeah,
and so I've seen a few.
You're right, sir.
It went like that, and it not, you know, didn't take the time. And like I said, it ain't gonna be no cordial. There ain't no cordial going on here. Are you cordial when you crash in a plane? No, I ain't cordial. You crash.
Oh, man, fuck.
There's nothing cordial about a crash. You burn, or if you're lucky, you may come out alive, but you'll be jacked up a little bit. I'm just saying, it's pretty much kind of like that.
So, what are some tips you have, like, of proper ways to vet?
I will say now, like my mentor taught me, he said for a lot of things nowadays in these BDSM relationships, they're not really vetting enough. Honestly, a lot of them are pretty much going maybe one or two, they're straight up, once again, smash the crotches, and then just see what works, you know? And that's, you need more time than that. And she said, first of all, you should really try to work on making a friendship first.
Yes.
If you don't form that friendship, and all you got is once again smashing crotches, then eventually, I don't care how hot it is, after a few months of that, then you're gonna start asking, well, what else?
Is this? Right. This is getting boring.
I mean, if you don't have anything up inside the fact you're kind of smashing the hole, then you know now you're gonna have some issue here. So that thing here is why I keep telling people you need to, you know, be able to find out what a person's about. Is she in the anime, movies, working out, anything that you can relate to? But if she got nothing in that son of a gun besides that, then yeah, you might have a problem. And hence the reason why we have so many people now, relationship-wise, having problems. I mean, the divorce rate is higher than ever been. They say the marriage rate is like less than 30%.
Wow.
That's pretty goddamn low. And single has never been higher in America. I mean, you can't look at anything and think, you know, hey, I think a rocket scientist figure out we got a problem. And, you know, you combine the porn, the constant just bang, bang, sitting on the thing, not saying anything, type culture, and, you know, not trying to learn about a person, you're going to get what you get. And I told my other friend, man, I said, look, try going to a marriage and you look around you. If you're constantly training yourself to be with people, some shit fall out, break up with them, move on. You just give them some shit, fall out, and they try to talk it out, move on. And guess what? You do the same thing in your marriage. You do what you've been trained.
Right.
You'll do what you've been trained to do. And I'm not saying that one person, we all have our faults. I get that. Both, men and women, both. I'm saying, like I keep telling my friend here, that look, if everybody keeps saying, saying they don't give a fuck, that means everybody gets fucked. I mean, If everybody doesn't give a fuck, then we all get fucked. And without the loot, they don't give a shit. I'm just saying, man, it ain't pretty. And so it ain't rocket science, man. So you keep going, this happened. You look around you and see the devastation. The cycle has to end some kind of way.
And
somebody has to end this. And I told him to look kind of like this. You see a nice guy, he's doing a thing. He believes in, you know, treat a girl all a certain way, you know, pretty, pretty cool. He meets a bitch, she goes crazy on him, she treats him like shit. He gets bitter, he snaps. Now he's an asshole type, whatever. And now he's going through women. He finds a nice girl. She tried to be all kind to him and all that. He treats her like shit. Now you think he's a fuck boy or bastard. Now she turns to a bitch and she goes at that hurting guy. So it's a cycle.
Yeah, the vicious cycle. Oh my God.
Hurt people. And I told him that, look, if we just keep doing this, I mean, especially in the Black community, we already have enough going on.
Yeah.
So why are we trying to kill ourselves? The best believe we got enough trying to take things out anyway.
Us.
So,
right.
So
we got enough help with
we
that
don't,
everyone else.
We don't.
Especially
like we don't need. Yeah, so we don't need all that, man. We got enough going on. I said, I wish that we could, I guess, come together on this. That's why I told my mentor, too. That's why I got into BDSM. It was because that I liked how deep the bonds were. That's what made it different for me, once again, than in my vanilla relationships in the past. It's how far somebody can go and the closest you feel when doing those kind of things. I mean, yeah, it's nice to have somebody tied down, spanking the hell out and all that, but it's the closest out of that after it's all said and done. You know, they feel they can trust you. They feel that bond with you. They can feel with a lot of other people. And you feel that kind of connection that makes you once again feel alive. Because once again, if all you're doing is smashing crotches, then my God, at this point, just get a sex bot. Because the rest of it's going to that point anyway.
Right.
You know? So I'm just saying.
Right. If you can't do that, if you can miss them and harness that energy without the sex being involved right then you have something special. You need to hold on to that shit. Because that shit is rare.
Oh, yeah. I'm like, okay, well, I see this point here. If y'all don't do this, you're going to have some goddamn issue. Like, I had this one. She was asking me questions. She said she had a guy. And she's pretty cool, the dude, all right?
Okay.
But said the dude couldn't fuck. Said he might last. He was once again, maybe a few minute pumper. Couldn't last. Mind you, like I said, I'm not giving no names here. If one of my people came here, would be tired or whatever. Uh-huh. She was telling me she got off more from ropes and toys than she did from her ex, who fucked her for about a year. And I thought that was pretty sad. You know, I mean, that's not a good situation there. I mean, Jesus Christ.
Man, that is not.
She did not know how to see that. She felt bad about it. Why she got the toy thing going on there. I get it.
Yeah.
I would tell her to look, you know, maybe since you are kinky or whatever, maybe you ought to go to, I don't know, find a guy you feel like you can actually talk about that and find one that's actually kinky. Or if he's not kinky, but he might have dominant energy, just kind of hint that I got these toys, I want to can you use them on me or whatever like that, and boom. Or better yet, if you know he's coming home or whatever, coming from work, and you want to surprise him, just get the toys out and start just slapping that pussy with a little bit right there when he walks in there. And so you're like, oh, you doing that? Oh, yeah. Oh, shit. I'm on that. I'm all on it. As a way to, like, not really try to completely control it, but, like, you know, let him see it and go from there. If you got the dominant energy you're thinking of, he'll attack. You know what I mean? It ain't rocket science there either. He'll go and attack the thing. But I will say...
No, go ahead.
I would say in relationships, that is, I guess that's a tricky slope. I mean, look, I never really had that problem because usually everybody I met was kinky, or if they weren't, I kinkified it, so it wasn't a problem either way. So, yeah, in my case, that would work for me. I never had that issue.
I don't know that can work from a sub's perspective. I mean,
but yeah, sub's a little bit different though. Sub's a little bit different because I know the paradox. The paradox of sub is they want the guy to leave. But if I have to tell the guy what to do, he's only doing what I'm doing, so he's not really leading. He's doing what I tell him to do, and they'll hear the paradox, like a time loop.
And it's immediately, for me, a turnoff because I am really into the dominant. Like, I'm more, like, I like my dominant, I mean, I like my daddies, right? But I do like the domination piece of it. Like, I have to know that you're controlling this scene and that I'm at your mercy, right? During this playtime, and that, like, you are the master here. And the moment I start, you know, directing, it's like, well, shit, I'm about to take the fuck over. Right, and that's cool sometimes, right? Sometimes you need that. I am a bit of a switch, so I'm a sub, but I'm also, you know, I can also go there, right? So, you know, I will, you know, in more kind of fun, kind of a fun play scene, take, you know, the reins, no pun intended, right? And take over the scene. But that's because we've established a dynamic. That's because we trust each other. That's because, you know, this is something we're deciding to do. This is our first time, and I'm able to dominate this scene and tell you what to do. You're my fucking sub now, bitch. Right? So, like...
Here we go.
So, you know, and I will... And as a brat, I'm already trying to challenge you, right? a little bit. So you've got that too. So if I come in there, challenge you, take the power and fuck you instead of the other way around, that's your last fuck. That is like your last fuck. Because I'm like, okay, well, if I got to sit here and do all the shit, when can I go into my, you know, submissive side? You are denying me access.
Here we go.
You know, so anyway, they're like, oh man, this bitch is with the shits. Yeah, and this is gonna be your last fuck.
Yeah, see, I've seen a few stories on. I have seen a few stories. Now I've seen a few. I don't know. I've seen a few horror stories when it comes to relationships like that. Like, it can go either way. I've seen somebody want to try something. The guy say, all right, sure. He goes, oh, why the fuck you let me do that? And all of a sudden, they're kind of gone. I've seen some of that. Or I've seen one where, you know, like you just said, dude ain't doing the job. The girl discussed it, said, I'll do it. And then I said, okay, well, fuck it, man. This guy sucks and shit out. I've seen some of that, too. That's sad to say. I've seen that. That sometimes definitely happens. Here's the reason why I've seen more.
Fuck the shit out of me the first time, or there will not be a second. Like, straight up.
I've always told dudes, you always should fuck like it's your last. That way you ain't got nothing to worry about. kind of like Bruce Lee. You always talk about people when punching. He said, don't punch his face. You punch to go through his face.
Okay.
That's the same thing. Same thing with here. You don't fuck the fucker. You fuck the shit out of her. That's the point. If you ain't trying to go out of there, you want to go all the way. That way you know you did everything possible you could. So if it goes out, hey, yeah, you gave all you got.
Gave it
now,
all.
Of course.
Don't bring no half ass over here. Seriously.
I'm just saying.
Bring me all the dick.
My personal experience, as I can honestly say, that never been an issue. They all kind of came back. But then again, that, like I said, everybody takes a little bit of training. I told my friend, once again, you do breathing techniques, learn to edge yourself, doing dick ups with a wet rag, whatever. You know, hey, you can last time and fuck.
Whoa, what'd you say?
Yeah, seriously. Like, I think I brought it up a while back about how you go ahead, get your dick hard, put a wet rag on it, do dick ups like a pull up for your dick. It makes your dick harder and thicker. It's like a workout for you. Same way women do Kegels, make their pussy tight. You know, whatever. Same thing.
Same way, yes. I just like hearing it, you know.
Oh, I see what you're doing. So I like hearing that shit. I'm just saying, yeah. Do that and you'll be good to go. A lot of guys don't know that, man. Or the breathing technique, breathe air down to the spine. Help someone numb it while keep it hard. Add a cock ring. You can fuck the hell out of her and not worry about coming for a while. And it's just small things like that, man. It helps a lot. But a lot of guys, you know, they don't look at it, man. Women, you know,
they don't want it. Go ahead. You mentioned a term. I just want to talk about a little bit.
And same thing with the women there, too. I feel like they, you know, I heard them complain about too much vanilla or doing the whole starfish thing. I said, trust me, if one person out there thinking of ideas and all they keep making ideas, they can make it happen. And it's up to them and they want to try something out.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you'll see exactly where they stand and where you want to go from this. And boom, boom, boom. But yeah, what do you want to say, by the way?
Yeah, the you mentioned edging. And I was on a Zoom call with some other kinky folk. And we were just shooting the shit about stuff. And we talking about edging. Everyone on the call were vulva owners. So, you know, the conversation got real, you know, got real fun and interesting. But you know, you had people who were just like, oh, that is my shit, I love edging, I love being edged, or I like being, you know, the edgy, like I like being the person that's receiving it. I'm just like, you know what, I want my fucking nut. Like, I that is not my shit. And maybe I haven't been edged properly, I don't know. But like, what does that do for folks? I mean, besides frustrate the fuck out of them. I mean, that would frustrate me. How long are we edging for? I'm sorry. What are we doing
here? That depends, man. Like the old-fashioned Hitachi tied to the chair. It will do something, man.
Oh,
it will
God.
Do something. You get somebody tied to a chair like that and tell you, oh, Hitachi the pussy. They can't move nowhere, tie their arms to the arms of the chair, tie their legs to the legs of the chair, they gotta sit down, put the Hitachi right at the clit, maybe a little tour inside the pussy. Yeah, I might add a butt plug for extra measure. Yeah, add a blindfold, put a little headphone on top of the head.
There you
maybe
go.
Put a little soft music. And, you know, just leave them there about 5 minutes. And, yeah.
Count some applause, yes, sir.
That's a good little edge situation right there. You know, can't really move. And maybe you, well, maybe just keep the headphones off. You kind of circle around with the blindfold and whisper in the air a few times while they're just kind of just convulsing in their chair a little bit there from the touch and everything else, you know. That's a good way to edge. Now, a touchy then will make a purple girl come, so you got to turn it off every now and then, a few seconds, turn it off, turn it back on. So keep them at the edge of coming, but not letting them come.
Oh, shit. See, I'm like, hey,
mm-hmm.
Leave that shit alone. Mm-hmm. I think that's the point. That's sadistic. That's very sadistic.
Mm-hmm. I'm just saying, it's very effective. It's very effective. It is very effective in a good way to edge. Now, I say it for the guys, because once again, women can, you know, multi-orgasm, yada, yada, boom, boom, boom. And for us dudes, you know, us, we got something to worry about, refractory period. We come, we're going to get hard again, yada, yada. So edging is really more effective for us, because basically it teaches us how to control. Basically, that feeling don't control you. You control it. And once you're able to live there, that's the secret to being able to fuck the hell out of her for hours, because that's the feeling no longer controls you. It's like your new home. Like, you live there now. So for a lot of guys, they get to that point, they get to the point of overturn, and then they're gone. The secret is, you got to know how to low there, to know your body, and be able to control that. Use your breathing, use the cockring, know how to stop, know how to ebb and flow, and basically you know how to constantly balance it so you can fuck for hours. Once you master that, then you know, hey, you can just go for whatever. That's a good thing. When you get to the point when the girl starts asking you to come, now you know you got to that point, because you realize it now. When she starts throwing that ass back, she got it clapping, she trying to talk shit, she trying to throw everything at you, she realizes this dick still going, she's going to start saying stuff like, can you come? That's when you know that, yeah, you fucked the shit out of her and her pussy getting tired. Yeah, there we go.
Oh, my God.
That's a good sign. Now, at that point, you can then decide you want to come or not, or just keep punching that pussy and see how much come out of there from her limit, because that's something else, too, about subspace. Or it goes along also with forced orgasm or consensual non-consent. Depending if she's into that, you want to talk about that before. But some like to get pushed to that limit.
What that means, consent, non-consent. That's, some people don't know what that means.
Basically, they consent to the ass being taken.
Uh-huh.
Basically, they consent to pretty much, they like being held down. They like the whole, let's say, the whole play fighting thing, but they really want to be taken. I had a girl tell me that one time. She's like, no, okay, I'll stop. Said, why'd you stop? You said no, I didn't mean it though. Why would you keep going? That was like years back.
What this is. That's
why I always tell people, learn the safe word, because you know the safe word may not be no.
Right.
And I tell people all the time to learn the person, what they want to say, what they want to do, and then act accordingly. In her case, she figured out that, yeah, she wanted that and she wanted to keep going. And for a lot of guys, they're kind of afraid, like, oh my God, holy shit, I'm not trying to hurt her. I'm not a monster. Fuck.
Right.
No.
Let go.
I was like, no, man, you got to embrace that side of you. And once you do, it's okay. Just communicate that first before you get started. Because, you know, sometimes, just like the girl can go into subspace, I know for me, I go into primal space. And, you know, that could be a very powerful thing that we want to discuss beforehand and know what you do, or make a distinct safe word, or maybe a safe signal. Because I had one time where I had a girl gagged, blindfolded, tied down. She couldn't move anything. I said, look, since you can't say anything to your gag, for a signal, just do the tap out sign like MMA. There you go. So she just tap a lady like MMA, like, okay, tap out, and that's all how I knew.
Good. Now you gotta pay attention to that fucking hand now.
Oh, yep. You gotta watch that hand like a hawk. But tell me, when she get to that point, she'll be slapping the shit out of her leg, whatever she can find, because you know she'll let you know. But yeah, that is very important to get to that point, consensual non-consent. Because basically, when they get to that, I guess the ones I've seen that hit subspace the hardest were the ones that really felt that need of being taken. I'm talking about tied down, they can't go nowhere, you're fucking the hell out of them, you're biting them.
Yeah.
They love that feeling of being taken.
Some people call it trigger warning, right? For the next 10 seconds. But some people call it rape play. For those who are survivors, sometimes that's a thing for them to kind of be overpowered by someone who you want to be overpowered by, right?
There we go.
Or I think it can also fall into, like, if you're asleep too, right? CNC. Am I asleep? Mm-hmm. Can he just come take the pussy? You know, that falls in that realm as well. But yeah, I mean, if no ain't the safe word, keep running.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You can pick something that really sticks out, like, you know, ice cream, Anderson, or let's say Fireball. I don't care. Pick something so wild, you know it's a safe word. Like, it just came out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Like Willy Wonka, I don't know, something like that. But yeah, my thing is...
I like Willy Wonka as a safe word, to be honest. I think I'm going to add that to my arsenal. Okay. For my next day, who may dig in the crates and hear this podcast, this word will be familiar to you. Like, what made you come up with Willy Wonka? Boom. Listen to Stereo. that was recorded on May the 25th. And hit me up. Boom. This is where it came from. Willy Wonka.
Willy freaking Wonka. Okay, see? And here we go. I'm saying, yeah, I mean, it's a real stuff. I mean, I've seen that happen, and I know for subspace, especially for those, usually the strongest subspaces I've seen were from those that literally had a kind of job and always got to be in control, and they had a hard time giving control up. Those would be the hardest ones in doing subspace. So when they give it up and finally go to that point, it usually can be very strong. Maybe having tears, a lot of holding, cuddling, screaming, you know, and just feeling that peace they feel when it comes over when they do that.
Yeah.
And
consensual non-consent.
Consensual non-consent, one of the biggest ones that kind of helped make that happen.
Yeah.
And at least the ones that I've seen. And personally, I really wish that people knew this more. I heard a lot of biggest complaints of the girl saying the guy wouldn't do it or wouldn't choke him, wouldn't go that extra distance, or couldn't last long to make it happen. And sometimes you need that endurance to make the pussy get to that point, because you never know what the pussy can handle, could have been pushed. They've been fucked so hard to the point where they're just like, you know, we're good. You know, it's time to close up, lock up. That's what you need. But yeah, obviously, consensual non-consent is probably one of my favorite kinks that usually get the most reactions, at least the ones I've seen. That and edge play. Edge play is powerful because now you're emotionally invested in your orgasm. Got to keep taking away from it and bringing it back.
You know what? Emotionally invested is absolutely the right term to use there, because I know I am. I'm like, wait, whoa, what the fuck? Why you turn that off? What you doing? Why you spawning? Like, it's like, okay, just relax. And, you know, and that's not actually what daddy says to me. Well, shut the fuck up, bitch. And I'm like, oh, okay, thank you. And that will shut the fuck up, right? And I'm happy to do it. Like, oh my God, he just shut the fuck up. I am gushing over here, okay? And he added the little bitch at the end. Okay. Yes. Okay, I'm gushing. Okay, shut my ass up then. And take whatever happened to me. This is great. Okay.
It will get that body ready to hit that space. And I'm like, okay. I see y'all.
It will. Yes, it will.
I see everybody what's going on here. Honestly, I'm like, look. That space, like I said, because like you just said a while back, if you're not able to do that and you can take control, usually kind of bounce, because you know how powerful that space is for you. And so if you know this guy can't bring it, it's the chance left, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. But you don't know until you know. right?
Yeah.
And I mean, I think we talked about this in the in a former talk, like that's why vetting is so important. Get your references if you can. Like, don't be shy about that shit. That's something that the white folks, the white people in this community do well. Like, they'll talk to your fucking ex. They'll go over, they have a tea, bitch. Like, they're sharing, you know,
why the tea? Why
crumpets the tea? And shit. Like, they, you know, little sandwiches and shit. Like, they are all in the same room talking about the other right across. And then they're like, okay, well, now we can all fuck and go home. This is going to be great. But they did their vetting.
Did the vetting.
They made sure that they did that, you know, that vetting period. And so, or went through that vetting period the right way, just being open and transparent, which is definitely a tool we can borrow in the Black kinky community from them. So, yeah, you know. I mean, that's, we just need more of that. But people just so, I don't know if that's because we're just territorial. I don't know.
I honestly, there's nothing wrong being at a primal. Primals are usually very territorial. Same way they want to mark their territory. That's something that we do. It's nothing wrong with that. I mean, look. I know that when it comes to talking to exes, that can be a really, that can be rocky. I ain't gonna lie, that can be rocky as hell.
But I think you explained why earlier too. It's because of that really strong bond, and you know, it's that rocket love, if you will, that comes crashing down, and it's like somebody's gonna get hurt. But it doesn't. I refuse to believe it always has to be that way. Like, holler at, like, I didn't, you know, to my point earlier. Like, I'm not bitter about these relationships and how they ended, because I knew they had to. And I'm not like on following your page and like sending you like disrespectful DMs. Like, I ain't doing none of that shit. It's like, it is what it is. It's okay. I still want you to do well. I still want you to get your nuts right. Like, I still wish you all the best in your kinky journey. It just did not continue with me, right? Like, my pussy can't be involved, but I recognize your humanity, right, and how you deserve pleasure like everyone else, even if that can't come from me, you know.
Jesus Christ, I don't want to get your nut through all that, but I, you know, yeah, I can't help it, Emma.
Like, get your nut. I'm good with that. Like, I ain't hating on it, like, cause I don't want it. You know, I did want it, now I don't. Like, it's fine.
Oh, well. That's usually the one part some can't get quite over. Like I said, if somebody got somebody out there, like the dude know he's slinging good dick and he know he's taking care of shit, she's gonna feel some kind of way because she can't get it no more. And the woman knows she's slinging good pussy and he can't get it no more, he gonna feel some kind of way. So that's usually the biggest hurdle for exes to get over. Now, if the guy, you know, you ain't got nothing, it ain't quite as bad, you know? You know, I've seen some where one or the party or vice versa, they ain't got nothing to sling out there, and well, they couldn't get it no more, they felt pretty good. It wasn't that big of a deal. At least what I've seen.
Are people just not being transparent about that too? Like, are they really playing?
They don't want to know
their feelings a little bit. I don't know. I think
they don't want to know they got them like that. They don't want to say that. Hey, I'm mad. I can't hit it no more. Or I'm mad. I can't. Whatever. You know, they don't want to say that. So instead, they just add that by something else. And you know, I'm just saying. I mean, the one or they actually have a hard time because that breakup ended with them being an asshole to each other.
Yeah,
I'm just saying. Either one or the two, but. Otherwise, I've seen some breakups happen with pretty cordial. They knew the deal. They had to stop because of, you know, some circumstances. But they still were good friends.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they knew that, hey, they were not hurting on the, you know, fuck each other part. So they can kind of keep things moving. That's mm-hmm. okay. But for most people, they can't hear it again. They feel some kind of way. You see it up all on Twitter.
Well, I've seen it. Yeah.
You've seen plenty of that shit on Twitter.
It's kind of pathetic, to be honest with you. But It goes back to that soul tie. It goes back to that energy. Like, I throw this fucking energy on you, and you're going to have a hard time. Like, I mentioned, you know, my non-kink relationship. Like, you know, he still chimes in 20 years later, right? My first kink relationship, that's over, but every now and then I'll get a, you know, hey, I'm thinking about you, or I miss you, or, you know, can I come eat your pussy or whatever? And I'm just like, okay, no, thanks. But, you know, I'm glad you're doing well, and thank you for thinking about me, because we have something, right? And, you know, I recognize him as the godfather of my kink, right? Like, I don't think I'd be here without him. Everything has its genesis. And so, and I wanted to give him that, right? Like, that's some big dick energy. Like, you pulled this out of me. You saw something in me and helped it, you know, rise, you know, like a phoenix.
Hence the name.
You know, hence the name. And so I'm like, burn that vanilla shit down and rebirth this kink type shit. Like, he did that for me, and I'll always love him for that and respect him for it, and give him his props, you know, when it comes to that. But, you know, you and this pussy journey ended, right? And it will not return, right? Because when you had it, and you fucked it up. And so own it. Own that shit. Like, I'm not coming back. And it's like, man, you just cut niggas off. Yeah, I cut niggas. Because I don't have time to waste with, you know, not knowing my worth, or having this feeling of being, you know, building me up and building this, what we had, for you to damage it with some petty bullshit. Like, to me, there's no coming back from it, you know? And, you know, the energy I give you, like, I gave you my best, I gave you all of it. I have a really high, what I'll say is intense energy in relationships. Like, they can feel in their spirit how much I love and care and submit to them. And when they don't have it, it feels, you know, there's a void. And I get it, right? But I just have to place it somewhere else where it can be cultivated, you know? And I'm just not gonna... I'm not going to plant gardens all over the place. I got one garden. So let me dig my shit up, right? And plant it somewhere else where it will be watered, you know? Can I get a fucking amen? That was poetic.
Amen indeed, man. We do need to get shit watered.
Yeah, I need an organ right now. Dun, 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 dun. I need a... like, that shit was poetic right there. And in this dynamic here that just ended, like, I'm feeling low about it. I really wish it would have gone on. I felt like he was my kinky match on so many levels, and now that match is gone, and I'm really struggling with a little bit.
You kind of feel some kind of, yeah, okay.
Yeah, but I know I'll move on, right? And I'll move on, and mark my fucking words, okay?
Ooh, here we go.
His ass will be back, okay? And because they all come back, unfortunately. Like, that happens here. Like, niggas just won't go away once they got pussy. I don't know. So I'm like, okay, I'm gonna have to change numbers. I don't know. Like, I can't be hearing from all y'all asses all the time. Like, somebody got to lose my number, lose contact, or don't fucking find me.
All right.
But, like, like, you'll be back, and I'm like, okay, nothing's changed, but I'll still care for you, you know? I don't know. It happens a lot. But I'm sure that happens a lot to a lot of people. I'm not just saying that.
Oh, yeah.
Like, all Liberty, just her ass is on some kind of heaven, you know, skyrocket pedestal. Like, heavenly pedestal.
Jesus Christ.
It's not even like that. It's just, you know, people, when you have a connection and that level, that intense energy, it's not an easy mm-hmm. thing ever. You know, that's really all I'm
saying. No, it's not. I have seen that happen a few times, and yeah, you do that the right way, people realize and they want to feel kind of close to you. They want to feel what you're like, what you're about. They don't just walk away so easily. They want to see what the hell's going on. Yes, you might get some stalkers or people kind of lurking. Mm-hmm. And I had a few stalkers on me, so I know it can go down. You know,
I'm not surprised to hear that, sir.
It can happen. Yeah.
Your base and your all the other things. So I'm not surprised to hear that at all.
I learned. My mentor taught me that people got certain type of energy. Mm-hmm. It can cause that to happen sometimes. And I say you're right. People got to sometimes kind of watch depending on what they got going on, because sometimes people may have an adverse reaction, or they may just not be completely into it, or they might be really into it and you're not really feeling them, and now you're going to have an issue. You're having a problem here. Somebody's going to get fucked over, and it's not going to end well. I won't say some of my worst situations like that, where I think we're talking about relationships. I know it's a bit of good and bad.
Mm-hmm.
I had some like that where we were trying to make things work, and you know, I got stuff going on in my life. I know family, work, mm-hmm. and sometimes you're not able to make time for the people you love and care for, because you're taking care of your family, other people you love and care for as well, and priorities. But you try to make the time, you try to make the time and make it work. And sometimes people, they need more. And I get that. They get that. Everybody's different, you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, especially dealing with somebody who got like a mental disability or some kind of problem like that.
Yeah.
It can be rough for relationships to handle a relationship and also take care of somebody in the family that got a mental problem or a health issue like that. Kind of balance both of that. And so I can say that, sometimes you get some fighting, some anger, because once again, that primal bond is like a double-edged sword. They feel close to you and want to feel close to you more often, and then they realize they can't get their time in because of stuff, causing frustration, and now you got fire in your hand, and they're thinking, well, shit.
shit, right?
Yeah, I've seen that go down, you know, and it's a learning experience, you know, trying to make sure what you can do and what you're able to handle, what you're able to make happen with people in your life. But it's a little rough depending on what you want to do with people and what they agree to. Once again, that's where vetting comes in handy. You know where you stand. And I learned now as I've gone by to really kind of bring things more, I guess, up faster. So help avoid some bullshit down the road or more problems down the road. You know?
Yeah, I do know. Yes, that resonates. You speak about your mentor a lot. Why don't you tell me what, in regards to like those kind of like that dynamic or even the vetting process, like what's the best piece of advice you've received from your mentor about that?
Let's see. Like I said, vetting, you always keep talking about that. That's the biggest thing.
Mm-hmm.
The second thing is try to vet without take time to know them before, I guess, fucking. Because once again, if you know what you got, whether you're a girl who got that, you know, some pussy that be slopping, like just sucking the life out of them, or you know you got the kind of dick that's going to be just stabbing the hell and they ain't going to get up too easily. You say, if you know you got that, then you're going to have to take things slow, because that complicates things.
Mm-hmm. Like, that's my nigga.
Like, you know, I seen that go down, and, you know, when dealing with things, you don't know about this person. I heard people tell all the time, like, nothing worse than you're being tied to somebody who you don't even like. But guess what? Now they slowing it down in the bedroom, and now sometimes people get stuck. Then, now we got kids involved. Now, they're really stuck. Or some just run. It depends on the person, but now you got a situation. Now you got a drama. Now you're basically a walking Tyler Perry movie. You know, it ain't good. I'm just saying.
Not a walking Tyler Perry movie. Damn.
I'm just saying. Now we got drama. Now we got drama.
Man, with the wigs and every fucking thing, huh?
Yeah, I got new. They had the Wacky Family, add a little backdrop theme song, add the buff guys cleaning up your lawn, and there you go, Tyler Perry movie. There you go.
Oh my God, that's so hilarious.
I'm just saying, it can get that rough, and that's, I think she told me that all the time, and as I got older and tried doing things, yeah, I'm definitely taking that more to heart. Don't get me wrong, sometimes, especially with the women who I meet, mm-hmm. they're not used to a guy turning pussy down that they know can get pussy.
Yes.
It's a little different.
It's real, different, and it is, talk about a stab to your ego. Like, especially if I got a fat ass, what you mean though? Like, what's that mean? Like, what is the word no? And I mean, I'm a brat too, right? Like, now I will preface this with that shit's never happened to me, but if it has, I can see my ego being extremely bruised.
I'm just saying, you can make it as nice as possible. Like, I've heard of some guy, they said that when it comes to that, they gotta think of something, because the girl might feel some kind of way. I heard some guy say something, they're hurt or they're injured, or something one dude said, or he said he got some incurable disease going on, or you gotta think of something. You just can't just flat out say no, because then the girl kind of just flip out on him. Nothing wrong with just saying no. I mean, look, you can tell me, look, I don't feel that's necessary. I'm coming through a situation here, mine ain't right. Just keep it simple like that. But otherwise, I seen that happen. It's not something they're quite used to. And it either go one of two ways. Either they flip out, cuss you out, call you gay or something, or they want you more because they're not used to a guy having the kind of strength to say no.
Yep.
To pussy. And they know he can't get pussy. Therein lies the trick that he has the kind of status where they know he can get pussy, mm-hmm. when he's saying no. Mm-hmm. Now, if you're the kind of guy that they know he can't get pussy, to write him off as just whatever, but they know he can.
I'm not gonna take him down. And he's single. Like, what's the problem? What?
And then it fucks him up. Either they really try, or they think whatever. I seen that happen, you know. But especially in this lifestyle, like I mentioned, saying it helps avoid some problems, because I seen it happen. You don't even like the person. You think he's an asshole. She thinks he's an asshole. Yada yada. For vice versa. But guess what? Y'all tearing each other's guts in the bedroom. So yeah, you kind of stuck sometimes because they have a hard time letting that go.
You know, it's hard to let that go, right? And especially if you're not in any other relationships or dynamics, and that's just like, you know, I'll just go with the consistent dick. Right? With the consistent pussy.
Yeah. There we go. That's people get into what they call situationships.
Situationships.
And, you know, one minute you think everything's well and good, y'all laughing, that thing, you know, she's outside keying your car, stabbing your tires, and saying, what now? things change, man.
Damn. Damn. That's hitting home. Sir, you okay? Are y'all right?
Yeah. Yeah, luckily, I said, oh yeah, I'm all right, man. I had a situation that could have been really bad. I met this one, like I said, she called herself a witch, she wanted to do some blood magic shit. She said she was trying to get on. She was trying to get on me hard. Like, she wanted me to get. I mean, no pretense, no games. I want you to fuck this pussy. Now, normally, when I see a girl, when I see a girl that aggressive. From the very get-go, the first few messages, like, I ain't even mentioned yet. Just first day, less than five minutes of just seeing my profile and texting me. I'm thinking, trap, or either it's really a dude, or I don't know. I'm thinking trap or something going wrong here. So I'm like, wait, this is way, what's up? What's going on here? So right. I'm saying, I did really like your profile. I like how you look, and I read about what you do, and I want to give this to you. So no, wait a minute, man. You going way to what? You trying to get am I getting rolled or what? I said, hell no. I said, hey, like, look, man. I get a girl maybe talk a day or two, and you meet. I seen that, and you fuck the first date. I seen that. Yeah, sure. Yeah, I seen that.
But not just dropping DMs. Like, I'm trying to.
I like you. Well, you got my DM with straight. Yeah, now I'm saying it happened to females. Yeah, when it happens the other way around, guys ain't used to it. I'm just saying, man. Guys talk about they want that, but when it really happens, sometimes guys, like I said, they think it's a trap, either the dude or they're about to get rolled or what. I don't know. Mm-hmm. So I'm asking it. Mm-hmm. I said, look. Let me talk to you on the phone first. I gotta make sure you're a woman or something, man. Right. I got, now mind you, this happened years ago, and I didn't have the half experience I got now. I mean, I'm like, you know, I'm just hearing this, like, wait, what's the hell going on? I was in decent shape, did some weights. That helped a lot, but you know.
You were. I'm talking older pictures. You look great.
No, she, she's like, yeah, that works. I was saying, she said she was okay. And I'm like, all right, I'll talk a little bit. And I found out, oh, by the way, I do this. You know, I'm taking my RN and I'm a witch. Wait, what? Is it what?
A witch?
You know, I said RN. No, before that. Go back. What? You said witch? Oh, well, yeah. It's in the family a little bit, you know. And I really want you to eat this pussy when I put some blood. Whoa. You wanna put your stuff on your pussy and have me eat it? Yeah, ooh. It tastes so good. You ooh. Will never. I like. Oh, fuck no. I'm like, wait. First of all, my family's beliefs and yours are like just clashing hard. Secondly, you're talking about putting your period blood on your coochie and have me suck it like a goddamn cherry icy. This ain't gonna work, man. No.
Not your hell king,
no.
Huh?
No, man. This is a hard limit for me.
What's the hard limit? No period blood?
Hell no, I'm not slurping that thing. No, I'm not doing it. Hell no, man.
I had to check, being that you are 98% primal. That's a fair question.
I mean, yeah, I know I'm at the primal, but I like my steak medium rare and all that. But there's some type of man. man, it ain't gonna work. I said, okay, look, we're gonna have a problem.
I'm gonna shut my ass up over here then about that subject. Okay.
She said we gotta talk. So what? We can't do this. What do you mean? I heard you kinky. Say, yeah, I'm kinky. But I hate my kink. And then top it off, you a witch. You probably doing some blood magic shit on me. No, yeah, I ain't doing no blood magic.
Then
my mentor told me, she was saying, you dodged the bullet. So what do you mean? She said she had somebody in her life she knew with a friend of hers, and this woman was not that good looking. She was like, really? She was built like, you know, built like SpongeBob SquarePants. Mm-mm. Face was kind of, you know, whatever. Hair looking a mess. She didn't have no ass, but she had dudes in line coming to her. But she was saying she practiced witchcraft, and you know, she had guy eat a pussy out while she put some shit on it. And my thing is, and that blood magic, that stuff was real, man. Had these dudes doing shit that, you know, it didn't look right. I said, oh, hell, I'm out. Nope.
Mm-hmm.
I ain't doing that. So I told her, I said, that way ain't going to work. And she left me alone. But, you know, once again, I would tell my mentors that every time, it's a difference if you fuck on the first date as opposed to she's trying to get you in less than 5 minutes, like now.
Yeah, like I just hopped in your inbox
No. That is way too eager. I've seen girls who were eager and still talk maybe a day or two the date. And yeah, I see that. But not literally text you 5 minutes, fuck me now. Like, no.
Right. Yeah.
I'm sensing trap. I'm thinking either you trapping, I'm being rolled, you with the guy.
I don't know. I guess that's out there. I mean, to me, as a female, we hear that shit all the time. But Yeah, I guess I would have that if I was a dude. I'd be a little like, damn, like, what? Where is this coming from?
Now I see, like, eager, maybe first date. Yeah, I could see that. But come on, roll on in and found out, try to put some blood on your pussy and wanted, no. that was the catch. That's the catch. You do some blood magic shit on. No, hell no, I'm not.
Hilarious. Wow.
So that was one of my situations. I definitely got the hell out of. I think I only ran to maybe two witches in my life that tried that shit. Mm-hmm. And one that she told me from the get-go, I never got involved. The second one told me halfway while we're doing things that she also practiced a little witchcraft. And she always tried to give me eat her pussy. She said, no, man. No. I don't trust witches. I do not trust witches on that scenario. I'm thinking y'all trying to put something on the pussy. And that's no, that's just me. That was just me. I had one try to do that shit to me, and I got the hell out of there. So, yeah, I ran with her situation. I ran like hell. There's some goddamn Alakazoom type. No, man, I'm not that type of thing. She tried to bibbity my boo. I didn't want that, man. No.
I said,
okay. I said, I do not like where this is going here, so I will not consent to that and get the hell out. But yeah, that's one of the worst I think I kind of seen. I think the other one pretty good, relationship-wise. I said my primal situation for like 6 years, long relationship, a very deep bond. She was the
6 years.
Someone, yeah, very, very dear. And learned a lot from that. And I can say relationship can last a long time. I always tell people all the time that, yeah, they can be about as strong as a marriage, depending how you go about it. Or they can suck ass. It depends where you go about that there, you know?
Like just, suck the life.
It takes communication. It takes communication and preparation. And I know, once again, I'm not perfect, but each day you're trying to go past and to pass your limits. Kind of like for everybody else in their life. As long as you keep going forward, that's the main thing that matters.
So, yeah. Forward. Yeah. That's. Damn.
I'm still trying to process.
Right? The stop. The halt. Because there were things about that relationship that were quite beautiful. That I know I'll miss. Like we had a routine that I really enjoyed. Kind of like a morning routine I really enjoyed. That, mm-hmm. you know, I won't get to enjoy like I was, right? So I can continue some of that on my own, right? But I certainly can't, you know, when I start a new relationship, be like, yeah, so this is what I like you to do. Like, no, he'd have to establish his own beautiful routine with me, right? So it's just pieces that you kind of have to leave and maybe even bury where they are. But you know, you'll be able to take that experience and live with it and be with it and move on to something else that you know, will suit you in that regard as well. So I won't even say better, it's just different.
That's all you can do in your life is try.
Yeah.
That's all you can do.
Yeah.
God dang. But I'd say it could have been a whole lot worse. I would say that compared to what you got going on, yeah, that it could be a whole hell lot worse.
Yeah, it could be. It could be. And I'm grateful for, you know, I don't regret what either of these situations whatsoever on my journey. Like, it's a part of my journey and I'm on it. You know, it's going to have this. It's forks in the road. It's going to have, you know, it's rocks in the road. But, you know, stay on the road, right? Which is really what I'm trying to do.
That's all you can do.
Yeah. So stay on the road. So what's happening with your journey right now? Like, you can hear that I'm at a crossroads of sorts, right? Like,
I'm still, once again, going through my own style of betting. And I know right now in my life, between the sessions and the vetting and the podcasting and the work and my family and my people on family trying to take care of and the family members, that kind of situation, I know it's a lot. And I'm trying to have my mentor about that, and some need more time. And with me kind of splitting up time for my work and taking care of people in my family who got health issues, some people may feel some kind of way, you don't have enough time for them, and it will get bad. And once again, when a mentor keeps saying, you laying down all that kink stuff, and you got them feeling something, and they want more of that, and you ain't got time to give when they want to because you're taking care of
right.
Sick family members or your job, and yeah, they're going to feel some kind of way. And I'm
in the bracket out.
Yeah, Brett comes out hard to the point it's fire, just rage, and you know, they don't want to, you know, it's rough. And so I'm trying to, I get that. I hate it, and slowly trying to work on more things to, I guess, better time management, I guess. Yeah. So I know how some kind of feel about that.
Yeah, that's
they don't have a problem.
Yep. Damn. Well, you know, I have taken up, I'm going to say, it's a strong word for me to use right now, but I'm going to say rigging. I'm really interested in learning more about rigging. I'm a rope bunny myself.
Oh, here we go.
And I've been doing some self ties, and I'm finding that quite therapeutic. Yeah, quite therapeutic. It feels so good being in the rope. And even though I don't have a partner right now tying me, it's tying me over. Oh,
tying me over.
You see what I did there? Oh, you're so
tying me over. Tying me over.
I knew you was.
Oh, there you go. Okay, I see what you're doing now.
Yeah. I am appreciating that. But you know, the other thing that that's occurring to me, one of my first dynamic was local. And my second was long distance. And the distance was a part of what got in the way of it being successful. And I don't think I'm going to do that shit anymore. Should I give that up?
Now, personally, I've seen long distance relationships. Years ago, I used to do them. And like I said, my 6-year one started out long distance. 2 years, and we finally met and went pretty well. But I usually don't work out so well, and a lot of them definitely don't work out. That's just one that happened to do pretty good and still somewhat on a friendly basis even after it ended. So my thing is, I recommend staying close if you can, because long distance only works if the bond is very, very strong. Otherwise, you're just fucked. Yeah.
I won't really end well. For, I don't know, 6 going on 7 months, and yeah, it sucks. And we couldn't end it like face to face either, which also felt really bad. Because I don't like doing the whole like I'm about to send you a text or right or like say it to you over the phone. Like, it just doesn't feel right. But we, you know, had to do it that way. It's just fucked up, period. Like, I feel really fucked up about it. But, you know, I'm still on the road.
Hey, I understand.
Will that road be leading outside of these boundaries? I don't know. Like, how far is it? Like, can you get in a car and drive here and like be here today, right? Like, if you can't do that, like if you're out, like, yeah, I'll be there tomorrow once I hop in the car, or like, yeah, no. Mm-mm. I don't want to have to take a flight to get some dick, is all I'm saying. Like, that's just beyond me at this point. Like, I'm just not flying around to dick appointments. Like, I am not a celebrity. So that Jesus shit Christ. Don't work, right? Like, can you get in your Jeep, okay, or whatever, and get here? And 10 minutes or less is ideal. However, if it takes you a couple of hours, like I can roll with it, you know, but like cross country dick, I think I'm giving up on that.
I might look it up. Maybe there might be a fetish for some people, cross country dick or something. Cross country dick. Yeah, holy shit.
Like, yeah,
no, more how many, how far away are you? About 4,000 miles. Oh shit.
Yep, shit, fuck out of here. Like, no. That's not gonna work. And then it also is your love of like, to me, I need more intensity. Like you can't dick me down good and then I'll see you for another month. Like what? Like no.
Yeah, see, my mentor was telling me, you know, you're doing all that stuff to them and you got stuff going to family, you got to be able to spend more time and, you know, you're divided, taking care of them and work, and yeah, you have an issue, especially doing your job right. You're doing your job right, they're going to want it more often. I mean, you're only able to give them to them when they want to because you're busy. Anger. Rage. I think of the Red Lantern Corps, the Rage Ring. Pretty much, yeah, there you go.
Man. Damn, that's fucked up, sir, I must say.
I'm just saying, man. I've seen it happen. I know people got lives, and I even had, you know, some tell me they're used to, you know, being in those kind of relationships and taking a while because they've been with people who do truck driving, that kind of thing. Hmm. And like I said, if you're hitting it right, guess what? They're gonna get mad too.
Wow. Oh my God.
It can get like that. And you know, all you can do is do the best you can to communicate so you run out a lot of pitfalls. But you know what? Now that you brought out rope, yeah, we're gonna definitely set up for another podcast. I'm gonna bring that one back about all rope, because I think that'd be a good idea because I miss talking about rope.
I do too. Just
keep it just complete nasty on the rope side and the artistic side of it. Let's go for that. Yeah, I miss talking about that. I know the relationship talk helps out to vent a lot of shit up in the air and everybody had a feeling. And
yeah,
so I probably have to balance that out with back in the rope talk and hey, how that went.
That'd be dope. I love talking about my rope experience and that is Subspace City, I must say. Like, y'all get in that harness, baby, I'm gone. Okay.
Well, see, there we go.
And so it's just being a rope is super amazing. If you haven't tried it, you should. If you are a black man, you should rig. I'm also your mentor. You said we used to say that to you, but I totally agree. As a rope bunny and meeting kinky men who like, oh yeah, I don't really know how to do it like that, I'll be like, yeah, like I immediately, it's the deflate. I'm like, okay.
Oh, not the deflate. God,
yes, the deflate. Like, okay. Like, I asked a dude today who jumped in my DM. He's been jumping in my DM a lot, but that's fine. I'm going to talk to him, too, because he has very interesting stories. I digress.
Oh, here we go.
But he's commenting on a post. I do a lot of posts about rope or someone tying rope, like, really beautiful you know, designs and things. And he's like, you know, I really want to learn how to do this. And I'm like, so he, that made him like 10 times more interesting when he said that, right? I was like,
No.
He replies with the no. I'm like, okay, what are we talking about then? So then he's like, but I'm trying to learn. I've been doing some simple ties. So it's like, oh, okay, my meter went right back up. So it was like 10, 1, 5, right? So
what the hell?
Yeah.
Okay, no, yeah, we definitely see that story right there. Gotta be saved for next podcast on rope. I can see that's gonna be a good hell of a story right there. I give him like a few days later simmer. I sense more gonna come from this one. I already know.
That's what's up. I'm with it. No problem.
Okay, then. I would say thank you for coming on here talking about relationships and people losing their goddamn minds and which is slinging period blood. But yeah, I say this is a pretty hell of a good podcast here.
For the record, I'm into that part of primal on me, but you know what? I'm also someone who menstruates. So listen, don't stare and yuck on that on my yum boo boo with that. Like, smear that shit. Smear that shit.
Oh, see, how the hell we come from relationships to this?
I don't know. Random.
Of course. Hence the random.
So now it's coming out like. Hey.
Oh, here we go. See, we're from random to this. Holy shit. Oh, we got. I had to say that for the next podcast. What the fuck? Okay. Okay. I'm cutting to the close.
Yes. And end scene.
Jesus Christ. Until next time, everybody.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the must not take yourself too seriously and 6-1 since that matters. And what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble. With exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
Hello, everybody. I hope you enjoyed today's podcast. If you have any kinky stories or confessions that you really want to have me read on this podcast, then you can just send it to my email at bdsmnoirlife@gmail.com. Or you can find it in pretty much my bio on Anchor or my Instagram. Anyway, if you also want to find more bonus stories or ASMR, y'all can check out my Patreon. I'll constantly be putting more and more content of whatever comes in my life. But anyway, until next time.